This is The Open Line on Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
It's just gone 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. You're listening to Super Scoreboard. Jerry McCulloch here with, as usual, Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. But for this afternoon, we've been joined by sports writer Hugh Keevans, who will remain with us and with you for the open line. What did I say?
Hugh Keevans.
Did I say Hugh Keevans too? No, two Hugh Keevans is too much. Hugh McDonald will remain with us for the open line, which is now open. I've got Marco and John waiting to speak to us. 0141 951 1025. Before all that, let's get a roundup of today's final scores with Derek Johnson.
I wish we could have taped what we've just spoken about for the last 3 minutes. The punters out there would have absolutely loved it. I'll maybe tweet it later on tonight. Okay, in the Scottish Premiership, Rangers 1, Hamilton 1, Kilmarnock 1, Motherwell 2, Partick Thistle 2, Inverness Cali Thistle 0, Ross County 1, Dundee 3. In the Scottish Championship, Ayr United 0, Raith Rovers 2, Dundee United 1, Queen of the South 1, Dunfermline 4, Dumbarton 3, Falkirk 1, Hibs 2, St Mirren 1, Morton 1. In Scottish League 1, Alloa 4, Peterhead 0, Brechin City 2, Stenhousemuir 1, East Fife 2, Albion Rovers 2, Livingston 5, Stranraer 1, and Queen's Park 1, Airdrieonians 3. In Scottish League 2, Annan 3, Stirling Albion 2, Arbroath 1, Berwick Rangers 1, Clyde 2, Montrose 1, Cowdenbeath 0, Elgin City 1, Edinburgh City 2, Forfar 3. In the English Championship, Birmingham 0, Cardiff 0, Blackburn Rovers 1, Norwich City 4, Bristol City 2, Wigan 1, Derby 0, Brighton 0, Huddersfield 2, Brentford 1, Ipswich 4, Barnsley 2, Nottingham Forest 4, Burton Albion 3, Reading 1, Preston North End 0, and Rotherham 2, Wolves 2.
I'm forgetting about this season and what you told us would happen this season, because I was talking before, Hugh, about, you know, what might Rangers fans phone up about, because obviously their team was playing today.
Yeah.
So I thought Rangers fans will want to phone and talk about the failings or the positives or the negatives, but I'm forgetting what's happening this season.
See, you're not a Glaswegian.
It's Celtic fans who are phoning up to have a pop. So let's go on the line. We've got a couple of Celtic fans here. We've got Marco and John. Let's go to Marco first. Hi, Marco.
Hi there. Hiya.
Hi, Marco.
First of all, I'm not on to have a pop, right? I'm one of the few Celtic supporters maybe who'd like to see a strong Rangers in the SPL, because basically the more successful Rangers are, the more it pushes us on and helps us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'd like to make is something that Hugh said earlier about the result today against Hamilton not defining Rangers' season. It certainly won't, but I don't see them either defining themselves as the main challengers to Celtic. I mean, let's look at it logically, guys. Rangers have been playing in the lower leagues for the last 4 years. Now, Hamilton have been to Celtic Park recently and won 1-0, and also had some good results against Celtic, who, you know, I would say man for man, but a far better team than the current Rangers side. So why is 1-1 such a shock? Why did everybody expect Rangers to win? Because they're not the same side as they used to be, you know? You cannot judge the Rangers now against the old Rangers that used to be before they were relegated. Mm. You know, and the thing is, I would like to see Rangers do well, because it will push Celtic on. I think one of the reasons why Celtic have not been as successful as they should have been in the last few years because of Rangers' absence. I'm welcoming them back. I want to see them pushing us to the title, but I just don't see it happening at all unless Rangers start to spend the kind of money or bring in the type of players Celtic are bringing in. I mean, Celtic are about to sign Scott Sinclair for, what, 5 or 6 million? Who are Rangers signed in that kind of quality to compete?
All right, Marco, stay there. I've still got your microphone up, so stay there. I want to hear what John has to say as another Celtic fan who's phoned in. Hi, John.
Hi, Jerry, and welcome to the programme, Hugh McDonald. Like my fellow Celtic fan there, Hugh Keevans, in the start of the programmes during the week, whatever, tipping Rangers to win a league and things like that. Hugh, I'd like to ask you, it's always very quiet over the Ibrox kind of thing. I'll ask you this question. If Celtic won tomorrow, right, if you want to talk about Celtic and Rangers, that's 2 points clear to go. Going to Celtic Park in September, I do believe. If they drop any more points, would you say it's quite possibly, the league could be over within maybe the first 8 games, maybe 10 games, something like that, Hugh? And
no.
The derby point I want to bring and highlight to you, and Derek, you'd probably be interested in this as well, being a Rangers man. But I remember Dave King was shouting about spending 30 million. The guy's not spent two bob.
All right, let's deal with Marco's points first. He reckons that everyone underestimated Hamilton, and nobody should be surprised by that score this afternoon.
Well, when he says everyone, in terms of this programme, he's absolutely right. Everyone, pre-match, took Hamilton to lose the game.
Why?
Well,
exactly, that's us as well, Marco. I mean, I didn't expect Hamilton to roll up there and get rolled over.
Well, if you hold on, we'll tell you why. For the simple reason that it looked to me, I'll speak for me and then Derek can have his say. It looked to me as if that Rangers side ought to have been good enough to win at home on a day of high emotion for them and their supporters. But it simply did not turn out to be the case because, as Lee Wallace said, Rangers failed as players.
Games aren't won in high emotion. They're one of the quality of the players in the park.
Yeah,
here's the thing for you, right? Think of the last time there probably wouldn't be one single player from the Rangers first team that would get into the Celtic first team. Probably not even to the Celtic second team. How can you expect Rangers are not
But listen, Marco, can I just say to you, you're asking questions and then answering them.
Yeah.
We're trying to give you an answer here and you keep butting in.
Right, sorry about that.
For a minute, Hugh. If I can butt for a minute, Hugh, you refer to Lee Wallace here. This is the same guy, Lee Wallace. Every time Rangers drop a point or get beaten, Lee Wallace comes out every time and says, we'll beat ourselves up in there. I mean, we're buzzing, we should never be. Is there any time Lee Wallace is going to come out or any Rangers fan say, you know what, we have come through the leagues. Maybe we're not the same team, the same club or whatever, or the same team.
To be fair to Lee Wallace, he did say that this afternoon. He mentioned the fact that they've just been promoted and they're playing better opposition.
Yeah, and he said they had failed as players. Now, to both of you gentlemen, can I just say one thing?
Uh-huh.
You're on asking, why did you do this and why did you say that? What if Celtic failed to win tomorrow?
Right, let me finish. You're jumping again. Let me answer that, Marco.
If Celtic fail to win tomorrow, it's not going to be a disaster. I mean, we saw the quality and depth.
But you're asking a hypothetical question. Well, I think
Rangers have dropped 2 points today.
Uh huh. What if Celtic drop three tomorrow?
I'm going to throw it right back to you. Right? So Rangers, that's done. So drop 2 points today. Celtic won tomorrow. Celtic will go 2 points clear of Rangers. Right? Yes.
I think that's mathematically certain, yes.
Yeah, well, okay then. Okay, we know that. You were no silly boys in this programme. What we're saying is, so 2 points behind, and just hypothetical again, if you want to come out with words like that, they're not the best, but, and they don't have a couple of points. Time to come to Celtic Park. If Celtic champions go on a run, and let's be honest here, Celtic's budget compared to Rangers is phenomenal. Brendan Rodgers has just said today there'll be more signings maybe this weekend or whenever. We are the champions, more money, bigger budget.
Yep.
What I'm saying to you is, when you come out with silly statements like the start, I know it's for everybody to phone in and whatever, and saying, you know, a Celtic don't do this, a Celtic don't do that, Rangers, you tip Rangers win a league. Rangers turn up the day, and I looked at a Rangers team, a Joey Barton. I don't know why, I think it was this guy who went and interviewed with Joey, but you're right, Jerry, give him a bottle of champagne, get him over here, we chat with him. But that game of the day I watched, they don't look big shakes to me.
You know what, gentlemen, I'm just delighted that you're taking an interest in Rangers.
Jerry,
I'm absolutely delighted that you're talking about your team and your fellow team in Glasgow.
Derek, what about Dave King? I'm asking you that. What about Dave King, Derek, 30 million? What happened to that?
Well, I don't know about Dave King. I don't know
Dave
King.
I
have no idea.
But Derek, you were shouting about Dave King's going to spend that. You teams as well. Hugh, can you give an answer? Or maybe
Dave King has been fantastic so far for Rangers. That's what I would say to you. There's one game on, and you're taking great delight in that, which is fine. Hey, listen, it's all part of living in Glasgow. We can all accept that. But don't get too excited. As Hugh says, if Hearts go and beat Celtic tomorrow, then where do you stand?
Do you not say, Marco and John, is this not, you know, a great scenario for yourselves as Celtic fans? Don't you like the fact that the media, or the SMSM, if you want to call them that, have hyped up Rangers and then they haven't won? Isn't this great for you?
That's why, Jerry. That's why we're on the programme, because we're just going to say to Celtic fans, but if you want to see...
So you're gloating.
Can I say something?
Yes, Marco.
Derek, right, you were asking, you were saying basically, isn't it great that Celtic fans have taken a great interest in Rangers? If you remember when I first came on the programme, I did say that I'm one of these Celtic supporters who actually want Rangers to do well.
Absolutely.
Because in doing so, a successful Rangers automatically for me equates, or certainly promotes, a successful Celtic. A Rangers the doldrums losing games and getting relegated, it's not in Celtic's favour, in my view. We need to do it back to the days where there was helicopter championships and stuff, and all that. Who's going to win out there? The things getting pushed to the ropes. And I don't see that happening at all this season on that current Rangers team. And other than Hugh saying about the euphoria of the Rangers obviously having their first home game in the SPL for 4 years, other than that, the quality on that team is not there at the moment to challenge Celtic in any serious way. And I'm looking at that from...
Marco, it's one game that's been played. It's one game. I don't think Mark Warburton knows what the best 11 is. It'll be a different 11 that will play on Tuesday night against Peterhead, and probably a different side that plays against Dundee. Let's see the league go on and watch how they play before we come out with statements like that.
You've had your go at the two of us, but let's get Hugh McDonald's take on this strange world that we live in.
Well, I think it's a strange, it's a pretty predictable world. I mean, it happens, and we make so much of it that happens here, but it happens in cities all over the world. The two major teams in the country, and there's quite. I mean, anybody says, any Celtic fan says they're no interest in Rangers, and any Rangers fan says they're no interest in Celtic, it's telling you a lie. It's as simple as that. It's a duopoly. I think I wasn't as surprised. I was talking earlier to Hugh, and I said I wasn't as surprised as a result today as somewhere, because I think it's been a big jump up for Rangers. I thought it would be a lot of tension on them today, and I thought if Hamilton were set up well, which they were, and went about their business, which they did, they were well capable. I would have, if somebody put my gun ahead, I'd say a narrow defeat, but I thought they were capable of a draw. So I'm not shocked at what's happened today. I still think, and I'll say this to both you gentlemen, I still think that Rangers will be the challengers to Celtic this season. And I'll say this, if we're talking about hypotheticals and arithmetic and mathematics, I think Aberdeen, who were the closest challengers in the last couple of seasons, ended up 15 to 20 points behind Celtic. I don't see Rangers being 15 to 20 points behind Celtic.
We've got some Rangers fans who have called up. I don't know whether it was Marco's comments or whatever has stirred them into action, but here's Dell, who's a Rangers fan. He's in Cranhill. Hi, Dell.
Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
All right, Del. What's on your mind today?
I just want to say hello to the two Hughes and Del Boy, Big Derek.
Hello, Del.
What I want to say is, I've got a couple of things to say, but Marco and John were, you know, it's obviously, it's good that they're watching Rangers and they're getting the conversation going on Clyde One tonight, because I thought that was interesting that he opened up the two Celtic fans. But that's the way it goes. What I wanted to say was, Hugh McDonald, I disagreed with you when you said that you thought Joey Barton was disappointing and he never really offered anything going forward. I seen Joey Barton have 3 shots on target, and one of them the keeper saved. Oh, sorry, 2 of them were off target, but it was 3 shots. Well, he was going forward.
He was towards the end, but the point I was trying to make, I wasn't going to try and talk Joey Barton down, but what I'm trying to say, he's not in the team. He's not there to score goals and have shots. He's there in that setup, because he's there in that setup to sit in front of the back two and protect him and start attacks in the back. If you noticed him today, a lot of his starting position today, he was actually standing in the penalty area a couple of times receiving the ball.
Right. That's because Hamilton had a fantastic game today. Let's not forget, Hamilton were at some points playing Rangers after park, and I was really, really impressed with Hamilton today. And Hugh, you made a comment a couple of minutes ago. He said, and I would like Rangers fans to remember this. You know, I'm one of the biggest Rangers
fans. Oh, they will, for 11 years.
We need to remember where we came from, right? We, you know, and what I would like to say about the team that we've got on the park today, they've not been together a long time. Fair enough, you know, I would have started with Forrester. I don't know why he didn't. But our best player, by far, Tavernier. Defensively today, Tavernier was absolutely brilliant. He's taken criticism in the past for the way he defends, and he's always going forward. But I thought defensively today, he was absolutely brilliant. And
right,
the amount of balls he put into the box. And you've got to remember, Rangers missed a lot of chances today. Wadcorn hit the post. So Marco's point at the start, Marco speaks a lot of sense, and I agreed with him at the start. You know, Rangers did well to get a draw today. I thought we fought hard, and we got a draw off a really good team.
So a lot of the pundits that I've heard have said that Hamilton are going to go down this season, but if they play the way they did today, I don't think Hamilton will be anywhere near the bottom of the league.
Stay there, Del. John, your fellow Rangers fan from Paisley's on the line. Hi, John.
Listen, that's a hysteria that starts with the first game of the season. Does the Celtic fans forget Hamilton took points off them last year? Did Hamilton not beat them as well? They seem to forget that, you know what I mean, for the budget they've got, they don't know, they weren't very good last year.
What we've got...
If Aberdeen were up for it, you know what I mean, then Celtic would have been struggling.
Listen,
so do you disagree with Lee Wallace then as a Rangers fan? He said he's let you down today.
No, listen, we can tell you, it's the first game of the season. We're getting together. I trust Warburton. I trust the youth policy we've got is absolutely phenomenal.
But that's the whole point. The whole point. It's the first day of the season and everyone's decided the league's done.
Aye.
So,
well, Celtic fans with a massive budget, do you know what I mean? Scott Sinclair playing on a Mickey Mouse team in Aston Villa get hammered last season. 4 million. Tourie's 35. Come on now.
But listen, you've fallen into the trap. This is the way... Hold on a second.
Exactly.
Hold on a second.
You make me laugh.
This is the way this programme will be from now until next May.
For now, not eternity.
because you've got each other back in your lives again. Yeah. And now you're going to talk about each other and talk each other down no matter what. Celtic supporter says a Rangers supporter will counter that and vice versa. That
you bring, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, in a second. You can bring up the Hamilton win at Celtic Park last season, but it has no relevance to anything. Nothing. But you can praise Hamilton for the way they played today, criticise Rangers for not doing enough to win the match, and the Celtic supporters, the first two Celtic supporters, or one of them anyway, said, do you think the league could be done after five or six games?
Gone.
So, you know, this is the world we've got back. Mm. Just, listen, embrace it. Love it. It's good fun.
Let me ask you a question, Hugh.
On you go.
Right. Do you think Windass and Halliday and Joey Barton, how's that going to work out? Because I think Windass will go straight into the team and improve the team. And I think Forrester is obviously going to start from now on. But do you not think that the League Cup game during the week is a good chance to get the players, the subs that come off today, play them in the League Cup, and then in the league, get Windass, Forrester. And for me, if anything happens to Tavernier, he's our best player. If anything happens to him or Lee Wallace, I can see us being in trouble.
Well, you've got Hodgson. Hodgson can play right or left back. He's an international player.
First of all, Windass didn't even make the bench today.
He's injured.
He's injured.
He's due back for the next weekend.
And secondly, of course, Mark Warburton will change the side significantly for the Peterhead game on Tuesday. Peterhead, incidentally, who got on the wrong end of a comprehensive defeat today. So, on you go.
Who was that?
Can I come back in?
Was that
on
you, Dale?
Go, John. On you go, John.
John, go for it.
Right. See the look at Rangers team, right? Take the three old guys at it. Right. See the youth policy. And honestly, I've just looked at the youth policy. Absolutely phenomenal, and he's taking that boy for Raith Rovers as well. Young centre half, and a lot of people. I'm not going to get into the hysteria about millions. Look at, they're on 4-year deals. There's a plan there. We don't know what the plan is, but Warburton knows what the plan is. David Weir knows what the plan is. And obviously, I didn't see the game today. I'm down south. My season ticket I gave it to my mate. So basically, you know what I mean? I missed it. Maybe I didn't miss it because obviously I heard they didn't play well. But do you know something? It's what you says. We can keep coming back and forward, and they're talking about the 30 million. Listen, I've got my trust. Your club will not get into debt again, hopefully, to the state we are. And we're back, and it's the season going. Talk to me in 6 months' time, and we'll see what the team is then.
Yeah, we are very much back, as the opening calls on the open line has proved.
The one thing I would say about Dave King, though, he did say it, and he's going to have to come across at some point, because Dave King became the leader of Rangers, the main man at the club, by highlighting that he needed to come in before Celtic won 10 in a row. The very first thing he said, he pressed all the right buttons, and he also mentioned the family legacy and so on and so forth. At some point, the Rangers fans will be entitled to say, Mr. Chairman, where's the money?
And there are those that says, yeah, but he wasn't meaning £30 million on players. But even so, you know, if it's £1 million, he's got as a transfer budget, then
there's so much money needed to make sure Ibrox is strong, you know, because there are a lot of things that have been forgotten about for the last four or
absolutely,
5 years.
Absolutely, but I think
so if fans... Money, and fans are thinking of money on players. Yeah, and that you will spend money eventually, I think, on players. But what he's got just now, I mean, I think there's only four players that they've paid money for. And 250 grand they got Crooks.
Yeah, three development
Windass,
fees and then 100
and
grand
I think
for
Rossiter
Hodgson.
As well, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But my point was, if Rangers fans thought when Dave King did say the 30 million in total, that 29 of that was for Ibrox and one was for the team, they wouldn't have been too happy.
No, everything that a club does stems from the team in the park. Yeah. I understand what Derek's saying, that parts of Ibrox need refurbishment, fair enough, but everything stems from the team on the park.
Yeah.
And that there are areas like central defence and perhaps up front where Rangers will need to look.
Well, maybe
at
today after Dehu. Yeah, exactly the same as Celtic.
Well, thanks
what
to Marco,
to
thanks to John, thanks to John from Good Paisley, start. And thanks to Dell from Gran Hill. We're well up and running on Saturday's Open Line. You're listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
This is the Open Line. Call now to have your say. 0141 951 1025. With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
Going to hear very shortly from Partick Thistle manager Alan Archibald after an impressive 2-0 victory over Inverness Cally Thistle at Fir Hill this afternoon. First though, let's get straight back to the phone lines. 0141 951 1025. James is a Rangers fan from Drumchapel and he's called the guys. Hi James.
Evening, how are you guys?
Hi James.
I'd just like to thank me congratulate Celtic on winning the league today. Because I didn't know, guys, that the league title was handed out in August. It's dumbfounding, to be honest. But it's good to know that they're all back on the radio talking about their favourite team again, the Rangers. And it, you know, it seems to be this magical figure that, you know, that somebody keeps coming up with 30 million. I don't hear Rangers supporters banging about it. It's the Celtic supporters banging on about this 30 million. One of your callers said there that Celtic are now going out and bringing in the calibre of player like Scott Sinclair. A guy that we've been doing with Aston Villa is the calibre player that they should be attracting. And they said that we've not signed anybody like that. Well, I'm sorry, we've got a guy, Joey Barton, and there's also a guy called Nico Kranjčar, who's played at World Cups, played at a higher level than Scott Sinclair will ever play at. I just find it absolutely fine, mate. And I can't even... See, when Bowie comes in, guys, to start his show tonight, going to ask him to put on Obsession for the Celtic supporters.
But listen, you fall into the trap yourself. You're on responding. Hold on a second. The other thing, the other point is nobody ever stops to listen for a second. You're on responding to what they said because they've pressed your buttons and wound you up. I mean,
don't wound me up, my man. They've not wound me up. To be honest, guys, see, for the last 4 years or whatever, all I've heard on this radio station is it doesn't matter that we've obviously not been in the same league as them. Mind you, Celtic have never been in the same league as us, however. But they've banged on about us, man, for 4 years. Their obsession has been absolutely... It's been frightening at times, guys, and I actually worry about them. I think they need to go and see, like, a therapist or whatever. But you know what? I'm just glad my team are back in the top league again, guys. But fair enough, it wasn't a great performance today. However, these things happen when you're trying to bed in new players.
Listen, if we concentrate...
You know, can I bet a team that went to Park Hague last year and won?
Well, listen, I've got a guy here on the line who you think, James, might need some therapy before we go and speak to him, Hugh.
Well, if we concentrate on the football, you know, but they're going on and on about they said this and this, and we've got this Hamilton Accies game from last season coming up again.
I think it was 2 years ago, in fact, when Alex Neil was the manager.
I don't know what relevance this has to anything, but the fact of the matter is that Kranjčar and Joey Barton today didn't rise to the level the Rangers supporters had hoped. And that is a contributory factor towards the game ending in a 1-1 draw.
I wouldn't agree with that, Hugh. I think Kranjčar disappointed me. I think you're right there. He never got enough of the ball and didn't pass it as well as he could. Joey Barton did the job he's brought for, just to dictate in midfield. He had four or five great tackles, stuck a lot of balls through wide. I thought he did okay. Wasn't the man of the match.
No.
But I didn't think he had a bad game. Kranjčar, I was looking for more. Joey Barton did the job I think he would do this afternoon.
Jimmy's a Celtic fan from Clyde Bank. Jimmy, James reckons you need therapy.
It's no therapy. It's Big Derek that needs therapy.
Right. Fire away.
Hey, Derek. You can't give an even view. It's a Rangers view you give.
I'm giving you my view.
No, I'm talking about the tip Rangers for the league. Every time Rangers play Celtic, you tip Rangers. And that's no, it's no a non-edge view, it's a Rangers view, and I'm nothing up with that.
To be fair, Derek, he didn't in the Cup semi-final, know, you tipped Celtic.
I know, but just let him talk.
Yeah, right. He's talking himself into it. There's nothing up with that, but come out with it. Yeah. It's a Rangers point of view, it's a neutral point of view. You and Gordon DL are the exact same.
Listen, I'm on this programme, and I call it as I see it. It's not a Rangers point of view. If I think Rangers are going to win a game, I'll say it. And if they're not going to win a game, I'll say that as well. Yeah. That's just how I feel. You might see it that way. Being a Celtic fan, you would see it that way.
The whole country sees it, not just me.
Well, that's fine. If that's the way you see it, then fine. I know myself. I call it as I see it. It's as simple as
that. You don't call it, Derek. You call it from a Rangers point of view. Hugh Evans calls it to wind people up and to get people to phone in. That's fair enough.
there's somebody who's got into our heads. That's somebody that knows us both, you. That's it. He knows what we're all about.
He's a Clyde Bank man, so he knows everything. But,
absolutely.
But
to be fair, you're talking absolute nonsense. As far as I'm concerned.
As
far as I'm concerned. Listen.
Jimmy, can I ask you, just to understand this particular point of view here, Derek Johnson, in terms of Rangers Football Club, is an icon.
Aye, and he speaks for Rangers.
But listen, why wouldn't he have an affection for Rangers, having put in all the years that he did?
I've no got a problem with that. What I'm saying is, come out with and say that. What you're saying is, I'm giving my opinion. It's a neutral. It's no neutral.
Of course it's neutral. I'm on this programme as a pundit to talk about Scottish football.
Anyway,
and if Rangers come up, I'll talk about Rangers.
Jimmy, I mean, the two teams... The two football teams, are they not the most important thing? What does it matter what pundits say? What do you think about Celtic tomorrow at Tynecastle?
From a neutral point of view, I think Celtic will win tomorrow.
You're just saying that because you're a Celtic fan.
See, when Rangers had Gascoigne and Ludrop and all the rest of it, I didn't think Celtic would beat Rangers.
But you're not on this programme every week.
I listen to the programme all the time.
But you're not on it every week.
No, I don't know. Come on, I'm listening to you, but you're getting a pure Rangers point of view. As I say, nothing wrong with that. But tell the country, don't kid on. Listen.
Don't try and tell me what not to do and what to do.
But do you know the other thing?
I'm giving you it as I see it. It's as simple as that.
Do you know the other thing I'll say to you, Jimmy? You can accuse Derek of this particular offence, but when ex-Celtic players speak their mind about Celtic, in particular over the last couple of years, Chris Sutton, John Hartson, Charlie Nicholas, Davy Provan, Frank McAvaney, Frank McGarvey, when these people have spoken about Celtic, the Celtic supporters are wild with anger against them because they say you shouldn't tell the truth as you see it. You should toe the party line.
Bet you can't wait for your dinner now, Hugh McDonald.
That was good, huh?
Well, waking up.
Let's take a bit of a breather while we all phone our therapists. Let's hear from Alan Archibald, Partick Thistle manager. It was 2-0 for the Jags against Inverness Cali Thistle at Fir Hill.
No, as I said, it was cagey and it was a lot of misplaced passes. But we'd delighted with a good bit of play. We'd worked on that and we got a goal from it. And I thought it settled us down and we looked more like ourselves after that.
That's three goals in four games for Erskine since he's been back. What's he going to bring to you this season?
That's exactly that, just that threat. I didn't think we were giving him enough of the ball, actually, or feed him quickly enough, because that's what he can do, and if he gets the other side of the midfield, he can cause problems, and he's got quality and an eye for goal, so delighted he's off and running. He's got a good relationship with most of the boys he plays with, so it will definitely add something to our game.
Have they been scoring for fun before that got into this game, and you'd really sort of shut them out today?
Yeah, because delighted we get a clean sheet as well, because we've not worked a lot defensively, because we've always had a couple of injuries. Even Callum Booth only trained yesterday, so it's good to get a clean sheet. I think Abdul helps that with him back, helping the two centre-backs out and letting the full-backs go. So, no, good clean sheet.
The one you said probably was the injury to Liam Lindsay. How is he?
We're hoping it's just a dead leg. It's just a bit early to say. He took a clatter riding down his thigh and his knee. So, we're hoping it's just an impact thing, a dead leg. We'll see how he is tomorrow, obviously, the game Tuesday night.
If you keep playing like that, you might get Pat Bonner up to games as well.
It's a bit hard. It was a bit of tongue-in-cheek, you know. Something like that. Wido. No, I was delighted there was only one that tipped us to go down. He's getting it wrong every year anyway, so. That is what it is. I said before, they've got to pick somebody, and they picked us, and that's what it is. But it will motivate the players, it motivates us every year, and Hamilton are the same. We've done it 3 years in a row as well, so. Thanks for that.
First week back, we get a wee sweary for the manager.
They're all everybody's the same. Human. It's the unhappiest country in the world.
But does Alan Archibald think Rangers or Celtic will win the league? That was the question everyone wants
the
answer to.
I think the Rangers will win the treble. And see, next year they'll qualify for the Champions League. Hugh McDonald. That's what I think.
Let's get Jimmy back.
Implicate yourself in some way.
Well, I'm well implicated if you look at the forums. You know, well, I just think it's funny in Scotland as well. Every opinion is not given as a... is not viewed upon as an independent opinion. Yeah. It's always viewed upon as you're coming from some stance. Yeah. And it's really difficult if you're known as, like, if you know, I'm a self-confessed Celtic fan, so if I ever give a Celtic opinion, you know, it's seen as pro-Celtic, everybody say, ah, you're just saying that you're a Celtic fan. Yeah. The big difficulty is when I give an opinion which is would be perceived as anti-Celtic. Yeah. That's when I get the real pills, because, oh, you're a traitor to the cause.
You can't win.
But if you brought up the west of Scotland, I believe one of the, I mean, my experience anyway, where you brought up where I was, you were a Celtic or a Rangers fan. That's where I was brought up.
No, you're Dundee, of course. United, yes.
You were Dundee, but where I was, so...
Yeah, you were told who you were supporting. You didn't choose, you were told.
Well, it just happened. Yeah. It was just that.
Followed your family.
I gave an opinion once. Got banned for 2 years.
Let's not make that mistake again. Let's hear from Motherwell manager Mark McGee. Was he a happy man after a 2-1 victory away at Kilmarnock?
I was delighted. They made us work for it all the way. First half, you know, stepping on to us, putting us under pressure. You know, challenging for every ball. I thought in the first half, though, we, even under that sort of effort that they put in, we still managed to find a little bit of a composure to make a pass out and to get us on the park and to eventually find a little bit of quality in the first goal. Goals change games, you know, so it's important who gets the first goal. We got it, and at that point you're optimistic. Second half, obviously, start brilliantly, get the two, and really at that point you've got to think you should win the game. When it goes 2-1, then of course they're going to bombard you in the bottom body, and they put everything up, and he did as he does. He's a nuisance up there for defenders, and a lot dropped and a lot fell to them, but you know, luckily enough we hang on, you know. So I thought over the piece, although we did come under pressure the last 15 minutes, I thought we deserved to win.
Did Lionel and Marvin's missed chances at 2-0 make it a bit nervier at the end than it should have been?
Well, I said that it's not really good for my heart, you know. You know, if one of them goes in, then it certainly makes it a lot bit more comfortable.
Kelly fans clearly thought they should have had a penalty at the end when McManus and Kubalai were.
Well, I didn't think it particularly. I thought the referee was just about right. I think you'll see it when you see in the replays. But I think also we had a penalty here with Ben Hennigan, you know, was hauled to the ground, you know. So, you know, it has balanced out. I think if you rerun the game, you'll see that.
Is Mark McGee suggesting that penalty incidents balance themselves out at the end of the season?
It's early in the season, he'll be back.
It balanced itself out in the one game. We've got George, who's a Rangers fan from Bathgate, on the line. Hi, George. Hello, George, are you there?
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, George, I can hear you now.
I'm not going to lie, I can't even remember what I phoned up about now.
Let me tell you, George, you've only been hanging on the line for just about 5 minutes here. It says here that you want to ask the question, will Dave King put his hand in his pocket before the end of the window?
No, that wasn't it. It was the boy was saying about Dave King putting money in.
Mm.
And my point about that, Jerry, is people need to remember what Ken, Derek, I met you at Ibrox last week in that members' lounge, and the place was outstanding. It was beautiful. It's all been done up and that. People didn't see things like that, Jerry, and that's all money. I'm not saying it's going to cost 30 million to do things like that.
But that's expensive wallpaper.
Ibrox is looking good again, Jerry. We'll bring in the player of the year for the championship in England. His wages will only be cheap. We'll bring in a young boy, Rossiter. His wages will only be cheap. Now, Dave King, will need to put money in his pocket to buy a couple of players, but there's no point in just saying because we've drew with Hamilton today in the first game of the season that we need to put... I'm not saying you said that. I'm just saying other people are saying that, that they need to just start going and looking for players. It's not the way it's going to work. If we didn't get a player for the money we're willing to spend, we just didn't get a player. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I mean, George, 1-1 against Hamilton the first game of the season is just, it's one of these things. And I said to everybody I spoke to this week, this is the end of the last 4 years for me today. This is not the start of the new season. It's the start of the new season, but this is the start of the last 4 years. We'll get this day and done with, and then we'll move on to next week to Dundee and then Motherwell and take it from there.
Would you think, George, is reasonable to expect between now and the end of August as far as Rangers signings? What would satisfy you in terms of players and of cash outlay?
I can't go in and say about cash because Mark Warburton's done wonders with the players he's brought in. Sure, to be honest with you, that young boy Rossiter just looks class. Joey Barton, Cranshaw, all these boys look class for me. And I think we've probably spent about 2.5 million over the last 2 years. on players and look at the team we've got. But I'm not taking a dig here, I'm not like to get in there, but I'm not like to be like the same as what Celtic have done the last couple of years and just went out and spent loads of money and loads of midfielders and no fit them into the team. If at the end of the season, at the end of the transfer window, you've got a centre half and a striker in, I'll be more than delighted.
Yeah.
And that was before Wagyu got injured today. I still think we need a goal scoring striker and a centre half. I'm quite happy with our defence, don't get me wrong, but there's the day. I mean, I didn't know if Clint Hull's got to do the job, but I definitely think we need a centre-half and a striker, and I'll be more than happy with our team. I'll be willing, and if at the end of the season we didn't win the league, I'll be happy with it. I'll be happy with what I've got in.
All right, George, thanks for your call. George, the Rangers fan from Bathgate.
A happy man, why'd you let him on?
A voice of reason.
Here's Jerry in Bonnybridge. Are you a voice of reason, Jerry?
Of course I am, Jerry. How's things?
All right.
How's the rest of the crew?
Lovely.
Good.
That last call, I was right. I've just wallpapered my living room. Everything's rosy in my house as well.
Ah, but it didn't cost you £30 million, did it, Jerry?
Aye, well, this is true. that other Rangers caller that was on, was it James? He was getting a bit upset about the Celtic fans talking about the therapy and all that. I think
yes.
he really needs to lie down and calm down a wee bit and wake up, smell the coffee. Why don't they just hand the trophy to Celtic just now? Because from what I've seen already from both sides, Celtic are stronger in every single department, including the manager. There's no way Rangers are going to challenge Celtic this year.
Well, that's a supporter's point of view, and that's the way you'll feel, and the Rangers fans will feel the opposite, and on we'll go. All I can say to you is, what happens if Hearts win tomorrow?
Well, that's hypothetical, isn't it?
Well, you've just said there after looking at both sides, Celtic haven't played a league game yet.
You've just said, why don't they hand the title to Celtic?
I'm talking about from what I've saw the two teams playing. I've been watching Celtic in the Champions League qualifiers, and they're head and shoulders.
Well, in Gibraltar?
Sorry?
How were they in Gibraltar?
Gibraltar.
Oh, that's always the sting in the tail.
But that's it. You know, you've watched them. What would you like about the Celtic performance in Gibraltar? We know they won comfortably at Celtic Park, but that was a performance that you've watched and you're quite happy with that.
Who were Rangers playing in Europe this year?
Yeah, see, well, that's exactly, yes.
Who were they playing in Europe last year or the year before?
Yeah.
But we're confining ourselves here to the league, and you've suggested the league is finished now with, in Celtic's case, 38 games to play. And Rangers' case, 37 games to play. And then when I say to you, what if Celtic lose tomorrow? You say, oh, that's hypothetical. don't you get the contradiction there?
We're going to hear from Hibs boss Neil Lennon next on Super Scoreboard after a 2-1 win away to Falk.
Football is all a matter of opinions. This is The Open Line on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025. With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
It's not often you can say the pressure is on Hibs to win the league, but it is very much on them this season. In the Championship, of course, one more year. One more year is what Neil Lennon is hoping it is. They started with a 2-1 win at Falkirk this afternoon. Here he is.
I'm delighted. It's a fantastic win against a very good side at this level. Got off to a great start, and then we got a little bit deep for some reason, but you can't give Sybil that amount of time. It's a fantastic goal. And it's a brilliant hit. It just set up lovely for him, but he still executed it brilliantly. And you have to sometimes hold your hands up and say, well done, son. So our reaction was okay, but I felt we could have showed a little bit more composure at times on the ball. And second half, I thought we managed the game very well. And then we scored again early, and we had good control of the game for long periods. Although we looked more of a threat in the first half, I thought we managed the game a lot better second half.
Jason Cummins showed just how important he is to the club. Has there been any further developments given the news story today?
No, I mean, I spoke to Barry Frey on Wednesday or Thursday, and to be fair to Peterborough, you know, it's a fair offer. You know, they're not coming in at $300,000 or anything like that, so it's a fair offer for, you know, a good player, but we are in no position or no need to sell. I mean, at the end of the day, from my own experience, everyone has a price. But I've a doubt there'll be many clubs could meet our valuation of what we think of Jason. We worked hard in the summer to keep him. You know, he signed a new contract. He's worked really hard pre-season, not just on his football, but his fitness levels. and you can see that he's getting rewards for it early on. I thought he was fantastic today from start to finish. I thought he was a real thorn in the side, and you know, he could have had a hat-trick by half-time, took his second goal brilliantly, so yeah, it was a top performance. Allied with McGinn second half, I thought he was much, much better. I thought Liam Fontaine had a fine game, you know, so yeah, overall, like I said, it was always going to be hard fought so early in the season, so, and it's a brilliant win. You know, psychologically it'll give the players a huge lift, and for the supporters who came in the thousands today, you know, I'm pretty pleased we sent them home happy.
Neil Lennon says he's not sure any club could afford what they value Jason Cummings at. The player himself was asked about the links to Peterborough after he scored those two goals.
Aye, it's flattering, and nah, it doesn't put any pressure on me at all. As you've seen today, and it just makes me more confident, and nah, it just makes me play better. Eh? So.
Hey, it does, and it did. Two goals today. I want to hear from Alex Ray and Jim Duffy. We're going to do that, but quickly let's hear from John, who's a Rangers fan who is in Maryhill. Hi, John. Hello, John. John cannot hear us. Hi, John. No, John's gone. Right, let's hear from Alex Ray and Jim Duffy then. It was 1-1, a share of the spoils in the Renfrewshire derby. Let's hear from the St Mirren boss first.
First 30 minutes, we were second best all over the park, and we were lucky that we only found ourselves a goal down. I thought we started to work our way in kind of latter stages when Clarkson and things had a couple of wee chances. And I think in terms of the overall play in the second half, we went to have a three at the back, put more attacking options. And I actually thought we didn't have a great deal of quality from certain areas. And I wanted him to play when it was on to play and maybe go a wee bit more direct. And we were getting caught between the two of them, really. But in terms of the effort, I think for an hour after the first 30 minutes, we showed the character we expect in a derby. So, listen, we'll pick the bones out of it all, and we're pleased because it gets Big John off the mark as well.
John, obviously, he's come on and done what you wanted him to do. Was that maybe a thing you feel was more of an impact guy rather than a starter today?
No, listen, we've got four options now. And I think if you over the piece, I think it's important to recognise what a squad's about. And it's not necessarily, it's interesting, it's not necessarily about the 11 who start, it's about how people, you know, it's the same with Celtic through the week, you know, running. So it's about the squad, so it's not really about who starts and who finishes, it's actually what we bring to the table when we're on the pitch.
And here's Morton boss, Jim Duffy.
I think first half hour in particular, totally dominated it. We've hit the woodwork twice, scored a terrific goal, we just missed one, we're on the front foot for after about 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes was like as you would expect. It was a bit kind of, you know, touching gloves, so to speak. And then after that, I think we took control of the game, you know, for most of the first half. Second half was a bit scrappier, but I think Gats never deserved to make you in the whole 90 minutes. So we're a bit gutted that no one in the match. But you come here in the first game of the season when, you know, I think some of them are quite openly indicated that, you know, they're looking to really challenge this year. And for us to come and be disappointed at a point in the first game, I think says a lot about our players. I thought their attitude was fantastic. I thought we played some terrific football in the first half. And once again, I think those young players are showing that, you know, you don't always need to get and bring players in. If you've got players coming through the ranks, then give them a go. And I think that, you know, Jai again gave very good players a tough time in the first half, and he's only 18, and as I said, it's always good to see.
Jim Duffy there, Morton boss. Let's hope he gets his voice back for Wednesday when he joins us in the studio on Wednesday night. Just one latest piece of news coming out of Kilmarnock. Lee Clark confirmed that the club had turned down a bid from Charlton for their striker Josh McGuinness. Right, with about a minute and a half to go in the show, what have we learned from today, Derek Johnson?
Well, we learned one thing. Celtic have won the title, yeah, and they should have it. It was the end of this frivolities of having to play a game,
and I'm a Rangers fan.
But, but the main lesson of the day is that the air is crackling and the dogs are howling at the moon.
Rangers started our action today. It was a 1-1 draw for them against Hamilton Accies. Ali Crawford getting their wayside into the. If you've not seen Ali Crawford's goal, make an appointment to see it. It was an absolute screamer that Lionel Messi would have been proud of. Martin Wycorn got the equaliser for Rangers. He ended up limping off though with a hamstring injury. Mark Warburton says they'll assess how it is after he gets scans tomorrow. It finished Kilmarnock 1, Motherwell 2 at Rugby Park. Lionel Ainsworth and Marvin Johnson for Mark McGee's men, and Martin Smith with the go back for Kilmarnock. In the other match that we didn't feature but in the Premiership, it was 3-1 to Dundee up at Ross County. So a poor start to the season continues for Jim McIntyre and his men. In the Championship, in our featured matches, it finished Dundee United 1, Queen of the South 1, St Mirren 1, Morton 1 and Falkirk 1, Hibs 2. Both those goals coming from Jason Cummings. So there we have it. The
and
first.
There are 37 days of this show. Exactly. Bring it on.
Tomorrow, St Johnstone against Aberdeen. Alison Conroy will be at Tynecastle for Hearts against Celtic. So tune in tomorrow for the updates from that game and also post-match interviews with the managers. Perhaps Scott Sinclair deal will be confirmed tomorrow. May he be at Tynecastle to be introduced to the Celtic fans. We believe his medical was completed and the deal was signed this afternoon. My thanks to Mr. Derek Johnson. My thanks to Hugh Keevans. Thanks to Hugh McDonald. We shall see you hopefully in a few weeks' time. Get you back in. And thanks to you for listening. We will be back on Monday. Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson and myself.
We'll be the other
6 o'clock for more of the same. More of your calls. We look forward to it. If you keep it on Clyde One, and let's be honest, why wouldn't you? Then Michael Smith is
top
here.
He's standing in
for George tonight. So stay tuned for Michael Smith and some GBX anthems. We'll see you Monday.
Night.